Hello, PlaySpeed Nation Universe, and welcome back to the WWE Pay-Per-View Reaction Show series. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my co-host in these shows, the Oracle of the WWE, the one and the only Devin Hales. And Devin, we have Money in the Bank this month, a pay-per-view unlike any other the World Wrestling Entertainment, almost the World Wrestling Federation, the World Wrestling Entertainment has ever done, I'd say. What a show.
Yeah, it was about climbing the corporate ladder tonight, I guess would be the ridiculous tagline.
Was the risk worth the reward?
There you go.
Good Lord. But yes, we have a show that took place in two locations. It's been a long time since they've done one of those. Yeah, part of the show take place at the Performance Center, and the other part taking place at WWE Corporate Headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. So, it was an interesting show, and a polarizing show in some ways from some of the reaction I saw online, which we'll get into. So, let's get going, shall we? All right, our pre-show was Scott Stanford and Pete Rosenberg in the studio doing their thing. Had all the usual stuff going on there. Had a pre-show match. Jeff Hardy against Cesaro. So Jeff gets out there, and it's Jeff's first match back since his latest off time due to his addictions. And they had a pretty good match here with Cesaro. I mean, what do you expect? And Jeff was doing good. So, yeah, it's interesting on commentary. You know, Cesaro's been the company now for, well, at least main roster, for what, 10 years now?
Eight, I believe.
Eight.
He debuted after WrestleMania 28 on main roster TV.
Okay, so 8 years. And Corey Graves saying, you know, one day Cesaro will become, you know, once he gets it together or whatever, he'll be one of the megastars of the company. I'm like, he's been there 8 years. He's had his chances. They've cut him off from it every time. But, yeah, it was interesting seeing him in this position because, you know, he's been with Sami Zayn and Nakamura lately and their little deal and, of course, there's no sign of them two on this, and he was just out there being just a guy, just being Jeff Hardy's return opponent. But like I said, had a good match, but Hardy got the win with a Swanton Bomb. Totally expected, and it was, you know, for what they're doing, it was the right decision booking-wise. But it's interesting Cesaro playing like the pansy, or the patsy, excuse me, for Sheamus. Here, as Sheamus is the guy that Hardy's feuding with, considering Cesaro and Sheamus, you know, their relationship over the years, so there's that. But what were your thoughts on the match and Hardy winning it?
The match was real good. You know, I was satisfied with the match. I thought both guys looked good. Cesaro is always great. But, you know, on Cesaro, I think his role in the company has always been the right role. To me, he's not a main event caliber star. I don't think he should be in the main events. I think he can rub shoulders with main eventers. I think he can be in main event matches, but I don't think he should be a top star. To me, and I said this on Twitter after the match, he's today's Bobby Eaton. He's one of the all-time great tag wrestlers. He's a tremendous mid-card hand and talent and always has great matches. And can, you know, occasionally have feuds and big time matches with main eventers, but he's not someone who really needs to be in the main event. I'm not even saying that he's not good enough to. I just think that his position where he is perfectly acceptable. I think he's in the position he needs to be in. I think he's very valuable in his position. I think he's one of the best wrestlers of all time. I think he's formed quite a great career for himself, and he's one of these guys, kind of like Eaton was, where in 20 years, if we all go back and watch the footage, we're going to talk about how great he was in the ring. I mean, I don't have any qualms with his booking. You know, they gave him a few shots, and yeah, you know, the booking didn't always help him, but you know, Bobby Eaton had a 2 out of 3 falls match with Ric Flair at Clash of the Champions too, and you know that didn't, you know, Bobby Eaton didn't go much in his 91 push either. So, you know, I mean, of course, you know, Jim Herd was in charge and there were issues there as well, but I don't know. I've always kind of thought he was, in the last year or so, I feel like he's a Bobby Eaton type who is somebody who's valuable and he can be around for a long time. And I mean, he's been in great tag teams with multiple other guys for years and years, and he's right where he needs to be. I think he's perfectly fit in the role he's in.
Well, I mean, at this point in his career, yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. But, I mean, years ago, there was the chance that he could have been, you know.
Oh, sure. Something. You know, 2014, you know, I think was probably it. But, you know, putting him with Heyman, I don't think was the right decision. I think that was a mistake. I think that was a critical error. I don't know why they did that.
Well, looking back in hindsight, yeah, I mean, that definitely was a mistake. So, yeah. I mean, you're right there, but yeah, it's just, the Eaton comparison is pretty spot on, too. I mean, that is a great comparison. So, I'll give you that one for sure. But, so where do you see Jeff Hardy now? You see him going to feud with Sheamus, and how that's going to work out?
He'll win his feud with Sheamus, and in about 6 months, he'll tear a labrum or something and get pop for pills and, you know, same road. I'm not kidding. Sorry, but
that's the track record allows you to say that, you know, I mean,
yeah,
we hope that isn't the case.
No, same, you know, yeah, I don't want that to happen, but, you know, I was kind of joking, but not really. I mean, he's old, he's over 40 years old. I mean, he's still a good wrestler. It's just, he's more watchable than his brother is.
Well, yes.
But you know, he's got issues, you know. I hope one day he's able to fully beat them, you know. It's one of those deals where, I mean, you know, I've had, you know, it's just a deal where an addict's always an addict and it's always going to be a battle, but you know, it depends on if he can stay clean, you know.
Well, let's hope he does. Let's hope he finally does his time. I mean, he's at that age now where, I mean, they basically make it sound like it's do or die time for him, and it really is.
Yeah, he's over 40 years old. I mean, his health, you know, is you know, the addiction is eventually going to catch up to your body, and that's a scary thing for him. I hope he does okay. I mean, I don't think he's a bad person or anything like that, but you know, it's just he's just had an unfortunate deal the last 15 years. You know, it's unfortunate, but hopefully he can get it together. He's getting a big push, so he's getting a big push.
Yeah, he's gonna be definitely up there. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. I mean, you got Braun as a champion, well, as of right now. So, I mean, who knows? Who really knows? All right. The main show now: Fatal 4-Way. For the SmackDown Tag Titles, as we have the champions, The New Day, Big E and Kofi, defending against Lucha House Party, Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado, Miz and Morrison, and the Forgotten Sons, Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake, with Jackson Ryker on the outside. And why doesn't Jackson Ryker wrestle? What's going on here with the former Gunner, Devin? What are we thinking here?
I don't know why he doesn't wrestle. I mean, he's the type of guy that if Vince McMahon saw, he'd probably get an erection. So I don't know why he's not wrestling.
And he can work. He's a good
yes,
worker.
Yes, he can. Yeah, yeah. You know, he had a good tag team with James Storm there for a little while. He was in the first Scenic City Invitational in 2015. So I mean, he's a very, very good wrestler. I don't know why they're not using him. He was a great second there for a few months last summer when they really started to use him. He had a great little performance in that four team ladder match last year. That was really, really good. I don't know why they don't use him. It's weird.
It is. It definitely is. Who knows what's going on there? Anyway, this was a fast paced spot match. This is like you would see like on an indie scene scramble type match deal. Guys are doing crazy shit. One thing I talk about is Grand Metalik's hair was flowing this evening in his mask, where Corey Graves asked Michael Cole, was that Juventud Guerrera in the ring? Because he kind of had that look of early Hoovy in WCW with that hair just flowing away. But Metalik looked great in this match, hitting some dives, hitting some crazy dives. Forgotten Sons, I know people like to give them a lot of shit for their gimmick and, you know, what does it mean and all this other stuff. But those guys could work, man. They are good at what they do. They're solid, and they brought a different element to this match, which that's the thing. Now, this match, you had four teams that all brought something different to the table. And I'd say it worked, man. It really did work. Man, lots of crazy spots, near falls. Everybody had their chance to get the win. Finishers, kicking out of finishers, breakups, your standard fare. Big E, though, finally got the big ending on Metalik. So Metalik was a guy that did a job, but, you know, whatever. And New Day retained the tag titles. So was that the right decision? Should New Day have kept the belts, or should they have went to somebody else? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, match was fine. It was, basically everybody hit their stuff, but it was done well. Everything looked good. It's not my favorite kind of match, but, you know, for an opener that didn't overstay its welcome, it was fine. It's also, they really didn't have any other choice but to work that match. If you're going to have a four-way tag with no fans, why would you want to do, like, face and peril segments? It'd be stupid.
Well, I mean, having wrestling right now, period, is stupid, actually.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's clearly stupid.
I mean, we're watching it because we watch it, but
sure,
it really is stupid to be doing this right now.
It's very stupid.
The thing is, if you think about it, right? I mean, so people are talking about, well, UFC, you know, running show. UFC and boxing are sports, combat sports, that can be held without fans for one reason and one reason only that makes it different wrestling. There's no selling in UFC and boxing. What's wrestling built off of? It's built off of selling, you know, and stuff like that, and playing up to the crowd. I mean, yeah, there are boxers and Ultimate Fighters that have, you know, play up to the crowd, but that's not the key part of the match. It's not. There's not heat. There's no heat segments of the match. Right, like there isn't exactly. Wrestling, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, it is silly that, you know, these promotions are running their shows. But, you know, again, we're going to watch, so.
Yeah. That's kind of my point. You know, it's just it's hard to have a traditional type of deal when you know there's nobody there anyways. But yeah, it was done well, and I think New Day should have won. I mean, there was no, I mean, the Forgotten Sons or just got there. I think it's not quite time for that to happen. You know, Lucha House Party was just there to hit spots, and you know, that's fine. That's a good role to have. And Miz and Morrison, New Day just won the belts back. I don't know. Maybe they're waiting for something, but I think New Day winning was the right move.
I think you're right. So, Miz and Morrison, I mean, they've done well, but I don't know. You know, don't know about that.
Yeah.
They just, I mean, it seems so in a different era right now, you know?
Yeah, we're about a year and a half removed from that all-time Miz run. You know, Miz had about a 3-year run. You know, right up to the.
It's been 20 years since Real World. Think about that.
Oh God, I know.
20 years since he was on Real World.
He should have. You know, the Shane feud was fun because Shane was such a great heel on the feud and Miz. Mm-hmm. But after the Shane feud, it's just Miz has just not been. He sucked. Like, I'll just say it.
He had his run and now he's the Miz again.
Right.
I mean, his options right now, he's better off right now doing television, doing his reality shows, and now hosting a game show. So
right.
He's got irons in the fire. He's okay.
He's fine, yeah.
Morrison, there's still something there. I think I understand why they put him back with the Miz to do that, but it probably was a mistake in the end. You know, he needed to have his own juice. So maybe something, I don't know. But we'll see. And yes, New Day winning was a great decision. All right, we had interviews, Lacey and Drew, nothing special there. R-Truth and MVP, next. R-Truth came out doing his full entrance as if the fans were in the building, which it works for this. Because yes. It's Truth. It's work. I mean, he has to make some noise. And then here comes MVP out. MVP in his gear. MVP, you know, he's wrestling, he's managing, he's hosting a segment. He's a jack of all trades. And
he's also the color commentator on Main Event now.
Well, there you go. So he's doing that too. He's agenting. So he's a full-on utility man for the for WWE right now. And I made the joke, this was like their version of when Noah had Rosh Kimura and Haruka Egan feuding in the mid-2000s. You had the guy who did the mic work, and then you had Egan, which is like MVP. But they did this comedy routine out there where MVP was calling Truth a ripoff of hip-hop acts from now, when Truth has been doing this for 20 years, which I think is funny. And then Bobby Lashley comes out and told MVP, you have the night off. Truth won the night off, too. And Lashley stopped him from leaving, and Truth accidentally slapped Lashley in the face. That was a big mistake, as then we got a match where Lashley hit the spear, got the win, but Truth was funny in the whole thing. So, yeah, that's all this segment was. Did it need to be on the show? No, but it was, and Truth was entertaining, so that's that. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Truth is funny. I've always thought it was funny. It didn't really need to be on the show. You're right. I'm interested in what they're doing with Lashley. He's dominating matches now. Like, you know, the gauntlet match last week on Raw. I mean, he lost because he got DQ'd. So I mean, he's, you know, something's going on there. I'm kind of interested.
Well, they're doing the deal with Lana, and she wasn't there for this match. You know, where if she's around, he's losing, but if she's not around, right, he's winning. So they're doing that type of deal. And her still being there while Rusev's not there is just odd. Makes you wonder how long that's going to last.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, the Lashley thing is interesting. Absolutely. I mean, Heyman's got his ideas. I just don't know. It's it's hard to read.
Yes.
But Truth was not done with this show, as we'll talk about later. That's right. On. So we'll have that to talk about just a little bit later. All right. Kayla interviewed, we got Baron Corbin, King Corbin. And so he promised to win the briefcase. There's that. Kayla interviewed Bayley and Sasha, where Kayla asked Bayley if she blamed Sasha for the loss on SmackDown, and Bayley went on saying there's no problems, and did all the talking while Sasha stood there, and then Bayley walked away, and Sasha teased like she was going to say something, but kind of shot Kayla the side eye and went out. So they're getting that, they're doing that build, man. They're doing that build for this breakup, and it's going to be interesting when they finally pull the trigger on it, but they're getting there. They're getting there. So you can see them working. Just a matter of time of when they do it. So we have our match, SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bayley defending as Tamina. Now, I'm no fan of Tamina. I never really cared for Tamina. She never really showed me anything in the ring. I mean, she, as a character, she's boring. But, I mean, she serves a purpose, I guess. I don't know. But, let me tell you something right here. Give this woman credit. She went out there and she worked hard in this match. And this was the best match of her life. And Bayley was really good here too. Bayley, as a heel, I mean, she has just, you know, really become a strong heel, in my opinion, as far as just the way she acts and stuff. Even the stuff before the match where she was booing Tamina and cheering for herself during the introductions. You know, and just all kind of stuff she does. The shit talking to Michael Cole and this, that, and the other. There's a lot of stuff she does that she's doing really well. And I enjoyed this. And I don't watch SmackDown. I haven't watched any of this shit. So this is all, you know, new to me watching all them. I mean, I've seen clips of this, that, and the other. But, it's worked for what it was. I mean, who else is Bayley going to defend against, really? I mean, Carmella and Dana are in the Money in the Bank match. Alexa and Nikki are doing their thing. So, I mean, Tamina's fine. I mean, yeah, come in Naomi, but Tamina is fine for what they were doing. And they told the story that this was Tamina's first ever shot at the title, and she's been there for years and never had a shot. So you got that there, and the storytelling was good. I thought this was a very effective segment. And Bayley won the match. She retained the title. And Tamina tried to give her some on the drop, but Sasha made the save. And Sasha beat down Tamina. And that was that. So, what are your thoughts on this whole segment?
Yeah, this was... whoever laid this match out did a very good job. Because I thought the structure was great, too. Both women worked really hard. This is easily Tamina's best match of her life. I'm totally with you there. I liked that they, you know, worked it around working over Tamina's leg and did a good job of having like the big mean like a monster comeback by Tamina after Sasha poured water in her face. It was just very, very, very well laid out. I think the spot of the match was when Tamina went for a super kick and Bayley caught her in the leg vice. That was really, really well timed. This was really, really good. It wasn't like, I don't want to, you know, embellish too much or anything like that, but it was not bad at all. It was certainly a good match, and it was certainly well done, and you know, got the Bayley Sasha deal over, got, you know, made Tamina look good, made Bayley look good, made Sasha look good. It was a very good, strong segment overall. I'm totally with you there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was not match of the year or anything like that. It wasn't even really per se good, but it was the best. Like I said, the best you could get out of Tamina.
Yes, absolutely.
and that's what you would hope for in this situation. So it could have been way, 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 way worse.
For sure.
So there's that. All right, next we got Seth Rollins doing a promo on Seth. Promised to win the title later. So there's that. So next we got Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. By this point in time, we have the two big matches left in Money in the Bank match, and and it's 8:20 something. I mean, this thing is breezing on through.
Still light outside on the East Coast.
Yes. I was like, wow. It seemed like this in forever. So we had this match here, and of course this match has been built up around the fact that Bray wants Braun to rejoin him, to put on the black mask again and come back home. And I saw people that were like, why is it the Fiend out here? They didn't even be the Fiend. They never even mentioned the Fiend as part of this. It was always going to be Bray Wyatt. And it worked out better that way. Because, I mean, Bray working as himself in that gimmick in a match like this was better. And we'll talk about that at the end, because it plays into the ending. So they go out and they, you know, have a pretty, you know, fun big man match. Just start throwing each other around, hitting big spots, this, that, and the other. And Huska shows up for the Firefly Funhouse, cheering on Bray as Bray hit a DDT on the floor. And Bray eventually got back in the ring and went for Sister Abigail, but Braun hit a choke slam. Braun got knocked off the apron into the floor, and then Braun comes back up wearing the black sheep mask. And Bray was just ecstatic about this, and I told him. And Braun did his thing, got on his knees, you know, showing his devotion to Bray. And Bray was so happy. They embraced, and the puppets were all around ringside celebrating that Braun has come back home. Of course, you know what's coming next. Braun pushed Bray away, stomped on the mask, hit the Braun slam, pinned him, 1, 2, 3. And as Braun was walking to the back, they were showing Bray the spot in the corner. And all of a sudden, the Fiend visual effects started popping up. So, there you go. We're going to get Fiend and Braun naturally down the line. But here's the thing I would have done here, and I want to get your thoughts on this. I think the play here would have been to have Braun pretend that he was actually going with Bray. And have him become Bray's guy again for a while. And then eventually, you know, leak it out that it was all a plan all along for Braun to eliminate Bray. And eventually Braun eliminating the Fiend. But I thought that would have been a fun twist. And would have added something to Braun's character, more intrigue, if that would have happened. And allow Braun to work against some baby faces, you know, perhaps on the SmackDown roster, defending the title. So they didn't do it. They went with a safe, you know, predictable deal there, the tease, and then not pulling the trigger. So I get why they did it, but yeah, I would have liked better. So what are your thoughts on all this?
The match was fine. I just... You know, it's an ambitious thing that they're going for and that they did here. And both guys put in a lot of effort. They took some big bumps in this match. But the Bray stuff is just dumb. I just can't get into it. I just don't like it. Like, but I, you know, for the story that they were telling, they told the right story. You know what I mean? Like, they... You know, the whole story of the program is Bray trying to recruit Braun back to his, you know, back as his disciple. It's just the Bray stuff is just it's too much theater, I guess, for my liking, and too much. I don't know. Like. D-level horror movie theater at times for me.
The thing is, though, is this is actually probably the time that to do this
right,
type of stuff is at this time in the way the business is, where there is no fans, and we're doing stuff like Boneyard matches, and of course
sure,
the Bray
sure.
Cena match, and what we had later on this show with Money in the Bank. I mean, you do that type of stuff in front of a crowd, it's not going to work.
Right, sure. But I think the Bray stuff is a lot different than that other stuff, though. Like, I think it's way different. Like, just in terms of, I don't know, like, even stylistically, I think it's different.
Well, I agree. I agree in that way. But, yeah, I mean, the Bray gimmick right now is an interesting point. Let's put it that way.
Right, yeah. It's... I don't know. I didn't hate this. I just didn't, you know, I just wasn't interested in it. But it was done well. You know, I thought it was executed well.
I mean, it's obvious. Think about it now. It's obvious, and you know, we talked about this before. It's obvious that, you know, I mean, the whole Bray is a guy who's probably suffered from the virus thing. His booking is, you know, more than just about anybody in a way, because it was supposed to be him and Roman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yep. Now there's no Roman.
Yep.
So. Yep. There's that, yeah. Too.
Yeah. Very true.
And they're trying to tell the story of the Braun thing. And it's, you know, it makes sense. But I think, again, that it would have been better if they would have pulled the trigger with Braun pretending to be with him. Bray needs something different. A different, you know, part of this gimmick right now.
Right.
It's the same shit.
It is. It is. It's gotten tiresome.
It's the same shit. He needed something to freshen it up. And having somebody else with him wouldn't help do that.
Yes, I agree.
So. All right. Well. Let's say this feud's not over. That's for sure.
No.
So we'll see where they go from here. All right. Next, we get a video of the mysterious hacker. He's watching us. Any idea now, at this point in time, who you think the hacker is?
Oh, God.
I know we were talking about, was it Ali at WrestleMania? And then I've heard people mention now that... It could be anybody. You know, there's some people that firmly believe it's CM Punk. And then there was a guy who put out all this evidence supporting his claim that it was going to be Xavier Woods.
Huh.
To the point where he took the vocal track of one of the skits and changed the way it sounded and took it down levels or whatever and went over the vocal stylings of it, like the talking patterns, and talk about how much it sounded like Xavier Woods. This is crazy what this guy did. So who knows?
that could be trickery, though. They could have had Xavier Woods do the voiceover and then have be some like entirely somebody else.
Yeah, because
they figured it out. So you basically, I don't think we know who. Like, I still kind of
CM
think it's
Punk, though. That's the one I think's funny.
Punk is the funny one. Punk will be on whatever the Tuesday night, though. I don't know. I guess on Skype or whatever the hell they're doing it now. Backstage, he's back on backstage on Tuesday to talk about this show, actually.
But you know what? He tweeted about the hacker hacking in the backstage the other week. He had some tweet about it. He retweeted the video or something, responded to the video tweet.
Yeah, but I think that probably is just Punk working fans.
Oh, yeah, he knows what he's doing.
But, yeah, you know, I still think it's probably Ali. I don't know. I'm going to go with a safe guess. Although Woods is probably supposed to heal up here, right? I mean, it's been 7 months, so.
Yeah.
It's probably about time. Of course, if it's him, does this mean we're getting a New Day breakup? I mean,
Has to be. Has to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, which I don't know about that.
Well, Kofi and Big E have been doing it by themselves for, you know, for the past months, so.
Yeah, that's true. How many times did the Freebirds break up? Twice or three times?
Oh, man. All right.
They broke up in Georgia, right?
Yeah, they broke up in Alabama. They broke up they broke up in Georgia. If you started a feud in Georgia, had a big feud in Alabama. So that was in 81. Then they broke up in
Texas in 88, right?
Texas in 88. So there's that. Okay, that's the two. That's the two.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I guess they could do, because I mean, I've always kind of, at this point, they've been together so long, they're basically the modern Freebirds. I mean, I guess in, you know, history says, you know, I guess they should break up the group at least once. But
Shield.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Horsemen broke up a few times.
Yeah, they did. They did. So, I mean, I guess you always have to do it at least once.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Next WWE title match. Drew McIntyre defending against Seth Rollins. And this was a really, really good match. Very, very good match. Both guys worked their asses off. Lots of big spots. Guys hitting all their signature spots that used to be finishers and ain't finishers anymore. just, you know, going all out, balls out in the ring here. And Drew eventually hit the Claymore. Well, he went for a Claymore first. Rollins hit a super kick, then the curb stomp, got a near fall. Then Drew got back up, hit the Glasgow Kiss. Rollins hit a super kick. Drew bounced off, hit the Claymore, got the win. Then after the match, Drew put his hand out. Extended his hand, said, if you want to be a leader, show it. And Rollins shook his hand.
Interesting.
Interesting, indeed. So, I don't think it's going to be the babyface turn for Seth Rollins, per se, but it's an interesting deal there, part of the deal. So, your thoughts on the match and the finish?
Match was good. A lot of people really liked it. I don't think I liked it quite as much as some, but, you know, it was a good match. They're really putting Drew over, you know, which I like. I mean, he had a one count after a big move and then kicked out of the curb stomp, which I don't think anybody's done. And, like, God, I mean, a long time. I don't remember anybody kicking out of a curb stomp in a few years since he brought it back. You know, maybe once. I mean, Rollins has a lot of kickout fest in his matches. I wouldn't be shocked if it has happened once or twice. But
didn't Brock kick out of it?
Yeah, but that's Brock did. But Brock is his own thing.
You don't count Brock.
No. I mean, you know, Brock kicked out of it. But yeah, in terms of, I mean, that's Drew's getting awfully protected. I mean, you know, he ran through, you know, Zelina's crew like it was nothing. And now he's, you know, beating Seth Rollins, in a competitive match. But, I mean, he was clearly the best looking, you know, in terms of, you know, clearly came out looking like the better guy. You know, pretty clearly. So, I mean, he's getting one hell of a push, which I'm glad, you know, he's getting the ball. That's for sure.
It's just the worst timing for him, though, to be in there.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
that's the worst thing about it for him.
Yep.
Because he was starting to catch fire, you know, with the fans, and then boom.
Yep. I know. So.
Well, where do you think we go from here?
Well, I don't necessarily think this feud's over. You know, the handshake was interesting. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. It's to me, that's a false flag. You know, it's like, it's almost like a signal of like, either it's a fake, you know, like a fake signal of Rollins goes going to turn babyface or the feud's over. I think that the handshake indicated that this is going to continue into next month. How, I don't know, but I don't think this is over.
I don't think so either, because I mean, I don't.
It's not really any opponents for their.
Yeah, I mean, this was their first match,
right?
So, yeah, maybe I don't know. It's It's hard to predict where they go right now in a lot of ways. It really is.
Well, I mean, think about it. Most of the people they're using are, live three blocks from the performance center.
Well, that's part of it too. Yeah, but
that's,
I mean,
that's not all of it.
But we got Edge and Orton coming back. Although they're married together, so there's that. Yeah. But I mean,
Becky's going to come back tomorrow. Well, although who knows what's going to go on with her. Although, yeah. I don't know, going into Hollywood doesn't seem like the smartest idea either.
Well,
right now.
Who knows? Who knows? But, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, this whole thing, there's no telling what they had originally planned before this happened. Because, normally we would have had the superstar shakeup.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. Nope. So, who knows, man? It's just, they're flying by the seat of their pants in a lot of ways. It's obvious to see that too, and things on how it's done. Although Raw, Heyman's got doing a better job of it, but it's a crapshoot each week to see what happens. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Next, Charlie Caruso is back with Truth, and he's watching his laptop, watching whatever he was watching, and. He said he won his match over MVP. MVP was a tough opponent. But he said he won his baby back. And he challenged Tom Brady, said he's coming for him to get his baby back. And Charlie made sure to put it as he met Rob Gronkowski. I hope to God there's some type of skit filmed with Truth and Tom Brady. It's happening.
Oh, my God. That very well might happen.
I hope to God something happens or he just shows up at Tom Brady's house. Oh, God, please let that happen. So, anyway,
well,
the last time
any skit where somebody showed up at Tom Brady's house, if you've ever seen Ted 2,
exactly. Well, I mean, Gronk's gonna be playing in the NFL, they gotta get the belt. They gotta get the belt off of him.
Yeah, they do. They'll do something fun, I think.
Oh yeah, they'll figure something out. Next, we get the Money in the Bank matches. At the same time, at Titan Towers. The report was that this match was filmed on April 13th.
4 weeks ago.
So this has been in the can for a while, and God bless them for nothing getting out. That's a long time for something to be filmed and not even nothing get out about it detail wise. So props to everyone involved there.
Yeah, the only thing that got out was the stuff that happened at the very end and at the end of the men's match with the roof bumps, I think.
Yeah, I was saying that Vince was showing him how to do it. Right. Like himself. He was doing it himself. Vince McMahon. So and you could hear him when they hit, you could hear him hit the pad.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So the women's match featured Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Carmella, Dana Brooke, and Lacey Evans. Men's match featured Otis, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, King Corbin, Austin Black, and Rey Mysterio. This was a spectacle, to say the least. And it's a very polarizing one. Oh, excuse me. Some people hated this match. Some people loved this match. Some people thought it was, entertaining. Some people was like, why'd I even watch this? So there's varying opinions on this. I thought it was highly entertaining myself. I laughed at a lot of stuff personally. I thought it was a hoot. And here's the kind of, they brawled on the first floor. Asuka jumped off the balcony and took all the women out and got in the elevator and laughing and dancing as they went and fought her. Men were in the gym area, which ended up with AJ getting barbells on his chest. So, by Otis. Ray runs off and jumps in the bathroom where we hear a toilet flush and Brother Love's coming out. So Brother Love's in there taking a shit. So there's that. Then we get the men in an elevator and they're fighting in the elevator. That was fun. So the women met up with the men and then they were all brawling together at that point in time. Daniel Bryan was hitting Corbin with kicks. Yes, kicks. Corbin was tied up at some ropes, which there was ring ropes there around the wall. And then all of a sudden, some guy with doink makeup and a green wig got up behind the chair, which was odd for no reason. So then the ladies went to a conference room where Dana nailed Nia Jax with a steel chair and pulled the briefcase down that was in the ceiling, which the briefcase had cash in it. Dana thought she won the match. Boy, she come off as dumb here. So she's celebrating until Stephanie McMahon shows up and says, "This is the Money in the Bank conference room." And Dana's like, "What?" And she told Dana to clean this stuff up before she left. It was at that point in time that Carmella grabbed a poster of Carmella in a frame of herself holding the Money in the Bank briefcase and bashing it over Dana's head. And Carmella moonwalked out of the room only to be met with a woman's right by Lacey. AJ's looking for Ray in the hallway. Instead, he sees a picture of The Undertaker. He opens up a room which has a purple light and a casket with Taker's music playing. Styles then went into PTSD about their Boneyard match. Alistair then showed up and kicked AJ right into the room and locked the door. Then our next visual is Paul Heyman sitting at a table full of food because he's fat. Everyone showed up as Heyman's looking around. Otis is pumped up because there's food here. He yells food fight. They all start throwing food at each other as Otis threw a plate of rice at Heyman to start off. The men and the women are fighting at this point in time. Shayna put the cure food clutch on Ray, where Nia Jax and Otis then sandwiched them. Then we got a tease of Otis and Nia standing off each other. They're about to have a hoss fight. So they decide to go their own ways. Otis went to the cafeteria, where he noticed some pie there, and he was about to taste some nice pumpkin pie. But all of a sudden, Big Johnny showed up, John Laurinaitis, on his scooter in his white suit, flashing his pearly white. People power, and Otis hit him in the face with the pie. So the women finally got up to the roof first at the ramp stairs. Black and Brian were in the hallway. AJ shows up. Then Brian and AJ start brawling to an office. It was Vince McMahon's office. Vince McMahon, who was sitting there wearing blue jeans. Which, that's the spot of the match to me. Other than that crazy workout attire that Vince would wear on occasion, I've never seen Vince McMahon anything but slacks. So there's Vince McMahon in blue jeans. And he told them to leave. Brian and Styles apologized, fixed the chairs. Noticeable on the wall was Vince's giant dinosaur bones, his head, the skull. So then Brian and Styles end up leaving the office and they start having a little comedy together about acting like cowards. And they started fighting. And at this point, Asuka and Nia were the first ones on the roof and got in the ring. And the other women started joining them. Asuka, well, it's really just Lacey, actually. I don't think Carmella and Dana and they've even on the roof. So Asuka and Lacey and Nia were up there. Asuka and Lacey were fighting. She knocked Lacey off. Lacey landed on Nia. Corbin showed up and got on the same ladder as Asuka. Asuka knocked him off. And Asuka pulled down the briefcase to win the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Then by this point in time, the men got up there, and all of them eventually got up there. Almost except for Brian. Brian never made his way up there. So, which is interesting. Ray and Alistair were up there fighting. AJ knocked them over. So Corbin grabbed Ray and threw him over the roof. Did he grab Aleister Black? Threw him over the roof as well. And you can hear them hit the pads as they hit. Then AJ had a phenomenal form on Otis. AJ and Corbin were fighting on the ladder. They both got their hands on the briefcase and pulled it down. When Elias returned, I know you were pumped up for this, and smashed his guitar over Corbin's back. This feud must continue. AJ fumbled the briefcase, which fell right into Otis's hands. That's the Georgia Bulldogs way in this type of match. Oh. We get so close, and we fumbled away. Amazing. Otis wins the Money in the Bank ladder match. Because God knows Otis can't climb the ladder. He tried to climb the ladder and broke the steps. Again. Did it on SmackDown. Did it tonight. So, because he's so big. Yeah, Big Show could climb a ladder. But anyway, Otis wins the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Otis celebrated. He said, "We did it, Mandy." Mandy promised a big celebration later, which, if you've seen Mandy Rose's Instagram lately, oh my goodness, what a celebration that could be. The show ended at 9:24 or something like that, a 2-hour and 20-minute pay-per-view. Tremendous. It's been a long time since we had one that short. What a way to end the show. What's your highlights?
Yeah, this was, I enjoyed this. I mean, back to what we talked about earlier during the four-way tag, wrestling shouldn't be going on anyways. It's stupid that it's going on. So why not just do stupid shit like this then? Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, who cares? Like, have fun. Do fun, goofy shit. Like, stop worrying about, I don't know. It's just, look, I understand if you didn't like it. I get that. I actually get it. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, I mean, are you going to have him, you know, are you going to have him do, I mean, I know they had the WrestleMania triple threat tag match. It was a ladder or whatever, but no, like, this was much better than them just doing a bunch of ladder spots. Yeah, I thought this was really entertaining. I think my favorite part was AJ having PTSD from the Boneyard match. that was the or Bruce Pritchard taking a shit, and then I also loved how, like, if you caught who's the WWE writer? I can't remember how to say his last name. He's on Twitter.
A lot of them around,
Brian Gewirtz, whatever his name is.
Gewirtz, yes.
Yeah. He said, no, this is, he was like, he said something, this long tweet about how, you know, WWE or whatever. And he said, "But one thing I know certainly isn't true is that Bruce Pritchard would never be washing his hands in a bathroom." So that was pretty funny. I also love that they had to, like, make sure to show that Pritchard was washing his hands after he shat and Vince put on hand sanitizer.
Like, that was, yes.
Like, but yeah, this is really, really entertaining. I'm also convinced that they're paying attention to social media, because the two, you know, the most popular female in the companies right now is Asuka, and the most popular male is Otis. So they clearly just said, "Fuck it, we're just going to let them win."
Well, it's not just that; it's that Vince loves them, both of them. Yeah, I mean, the report that, you know, Dave said that Vince is the one that's writing a lot of Otis's shit himself.
Oh yeah, yep.
And Vince thinks Asuka's highly entertaining, which she is. So yeah, it just turned out that they're popular among all the people too.
Yep.
I mean, of the people that were in that match at this time, they're the two that should have won it. Is Otis the best worker performer in that match? No, but he's got the hottest guy right now. Yes. You know, he really is.
I also just realized this. If you notice, the guys who brawled into Vince's office were Brian and AJ, who are like indie darlings. So, like, I wonder if it was, like, supposed to be meta, where Vince gets mad that these two indie darlings are fighting in his office. Like, first of all, like, first of all, Vince clearly loves both of them, by the way.
Like, yes.
But it's just, I wonder if that was done on purpose as to like be like, oh, there's the indie darlings getting in Vince's way.
I did want some Otis Vince interaction. No, we never got it.
Yes, that would have been great. That would have been great.
But
I enjoyed this. I was happy, very pleased with the winners.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed about when they got on the roof. I didn't think that the stuff that they did on the roof was quite as good. You know,
I mean, they weren't up there long.
It wasn't super disappointing, but it was just kind of.
Well, they weren't up there long either. I mean, they got up there and then they had the match and then finished the match up. You know, all the entertaining stuff took place throughout the towers, which is fine. Now, here's a question. I don't watch SmackDown, which I said, but did Otis say on SmackDown that he's going to use the Money in the Bank on the tag titles?
I don't remember hearing that.
Because I've heard people say he said that, or kind of alluded to that. Which, that would be interesting if that's a story they tell.
Yeah, it would be, actually.
Because, I mean, it's all about him and Tucker, and everybody's like... What about Tucker? They're making Tucker jokes about, you know, being the new Stevie Ray and this, that, and the other. I mean, if Otis does that, I mean, I'm curious to see how they work that one. If that's what it's going to be.
My question is if Stevie Ray is or if Tucker's the new Stevie Ray, who's going to be Ahmed Johnson coming in as Big T?
Oh my goodness, who knows? Good Lord! But yeah, they got some time because you know they have a year to work with on this. So who knows what's going to happen in a year? But yeah, I think we both are in agreement that they made the right decision. So
yes.
That's all we can hope for. All right. That's it for the show. All right. So now your thoughts. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up because it was a very quick watch. It barely was dark outside by the time it ended. And, you know, nothing was great. Not even the main event was great. You know, it was just fun, entertaining watch. But it was just nice to have a show that ended at, like, a reasonable time. And nothing was, like... I mean, it's not a big thumbs up. It was just an easy watch. Like, it was just a very easy, comforting watch. Nothing was terribly exciting, but you know, I appreciated the winners of the Money in the Bank matches, and you know, there were a couple of good matches on the undercard. Definite thumbs up for me.
My sentiments exactly. I mean, was it a match of the year? No. Were there any really even great matches? No. I mean, it was just an entertaining show. It went 2 hours and 20 minutes. You know, it was less time than a weekly Raw show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that too. But, yeah, it was perfectly fine, entertaining. I didn't regret watching it, so there's that. So, yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up in that way, absolutely. Absolutely. So... props to them for that, for pulling that off. So, all right, that's it for us for this show. We will return in 5 weeks for Backlash. And God knows what we're going to see on that show, I tell you. 5 weeks.
They might have 110 fans spread out across a small Florida convention center or something.
You never know. You never know. So on that note... Devin, thank you as always for joining me on these shows.
Definitely.
And this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.